So far, so good. We're into hour number two. First hour was nice. I am Jim Rome. Nice to have you here. In fact, great to be here on a Wednesday. The show is brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Looking ahead to later on this hour, the MVP of the All-Star Game, Shane Bieber, is an amazing story. He was coached in college, and remember, he walked on in college only a few years back. His coach, Andrew Checkets, joins us. Next hour, newly retired 10-year NFL vet, Glover Quinn. But we start hour number two by talking some NBA. We are joined right now by the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. He is entering his 12th season in that capacity. He's an NBA champion, is both a player and a coach. He was the NBA Coach of the Year in 2002. He is third among active coaches in wins. Of course, I'm speaking of Rick Carlisle. Rick, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, it's been too long. Great to be back in the jungle.
It has been too long. Great to have you back, Rick. Now, before we get into the work and your offseason, last month you were at a Basketball Without Borders camp in Latvia. Let me start right there. What was that experience like for you?
Well, it was great because I spent 2 days in a town called Liepāja, which is a coastal town on the Baltic Sea where Kristaps Porzingis is from. And we spent 2 days there. I was observing and talking to kids at his camp. He's got a camp for 13, 14, and 15-year-old kids that are learning the game, trying to get off to a good start, et cetera. And then from there, we went up to Riga and went to Basketball Without Borders and had a great experience with the NBA up there. Riga is a fantastic town. The weather was great. It was like being in San Diego, Jim.
That's cool. Now, the NBA, Rick, obviously is focused on growing the game internationally and has been for quite some time. As somebody who's been around the league as long as you have, what's it like for you to see the growth of the game overseas?
Well, it's amazing. And, you know, the impact that we have abroad is obviously massive. But the impact that the international game has had on our game has been massive, too. You know, 20 years ago, the European leagues, all the international leagues, they were getting ahead of us in skill development, and a lot of those kinds of things. And, you know, 20 years ago, I was an assistant in Portland when Arvydas Sabonis came over. A little longer than that ago, I was an assistant in New Jersey when Drazen Petrovic joined us for a couple of years. And so, you know, I've seen firsthand the influx of some of their great, the all-time great European players and what that has meant to our league. And those guys had tremendous impact. Of course, you know, Petrovic's story is tragic as he was killed in a car accident, you know, 2 years into his career. But the other thing I can tell you is that we were in China this past fall for two exhibition games, and the interest in the NBA in China is almost impossible to believe. We were in Shanghai and Shenzhen, and you know, the crowds of people, the masses of people, and the interest in the NBA, it was just off the charts.
Rick Carlisle joins us. You know, Rick, you mentioned Drazen Petrovic, and his passing was so sad. He was beloved. Can you remember what was it like? What went through your mind the first time you saw him play, and what was it like to be around him?
Well, the first time I saw him play, he was a role player, bench player with the Portland Trailblazers. And, you know, they were still on that run of the late 80s, early 90s of getting to a couple of finals and stuff like that. And he wasn't playing very much. And so, you know, we were able to acquire him in a multi-team trade when I was with the Nets. And we were in a rebuild at that time when I was an assistant. He immediately became a starter for us. And his first year, his numbers bumped up significantly because he was playing more, and you know, we didn't have much scoring, so we were running the ball through his hands a lot. And then the second year, he was even better, and he was third team All NBA before the tragic accident happened. So, you know, his career trajectory was headed toward becoming an NBA All Star, and you know. Yeah, he was already one of the all-time great European players and European, I should say, slash international players. But, you know, his future at that point in time looked limitless.
Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle joining us. I appreciate your thoughts on him. Now, Rick, one of the absolute icons of international basketball is somebody you, of course, know very well. I'm speaking of Dirk, a guy so legendary, he only needs one name. This coming season is going to be your first without him. What's it going to be like to coach without Dirk there?
Well, Jim, it's a very good question. He has been such a consistent force, just day-to-day, always in early, always doing everything from a professional standpoint to prepare himself to practice, to play, everything else. I mean, you know, I was real fortunate. I got to coach Reggie Miller, both in his prime and at the end of his career, and Dirk. And you know, it's been 11 straight years I've been with Dirk. And, you know, when a franchise player leaves a franchise, as Reggie did in 2005 and Dirk's doing now, you know, you're not exactly sure how it's going to affect things. You know, the year Reggie retired, we were headed into a year where there was great expectation in Indiana. And then, you know, things just kind of short-circuited and it just didn't go the way everybody had hoped it would. And a lot of it, I felt, was because of the loss of that consistency on a day-to-day basis with a guy like Reggie. And so now, you know, we've got the same situation with Dirk. I'm older and wiser, haven't been through that. We're preparing ourselves for, you know, life without Dirk and what that means. And we're really working hard to prepare our younger guys to become the same kind of leaders that he was. But it's a very big task and a very big responsibility, and, you know, those things don't happen overnight.
No, that's an enormous task and responsibility and a big ask of the young guys. Rick Carlisle joining us. Rick, in terms of the young guys, we're now just a year removed from the team making that move to draft Luka Doncic, and you're not going to make that move without having high expectations. You know, I'm curious, the transition to the NBA, whether it's from college or the international game, is always
unique. You know, he's been a professional player since age 15 or 16, and, you know, he'd been around guys that were crafty, veteran, you know, great international players. He'd learned a lot of the tricks of the trade. And as time went on, he played more and more and more, which culminated, you know, in the spring of 18. He was the best player on his team that won, you know, I think they won the Euro League, and they won two of the European championships. And he was MVP of both leagues and both championships. And so at that point in time, you know, for a kid that age, he had achieved more than anybody had ever achieved at that age in Europe. You know, more than Ginobili, more than Petrovic, you know, any of these guys, just in terms of, you know, being decorated. You know, and that experience really helped him because, you know, he was a professional player when he walked in the door. He had that experience. And not only had he just been a pro for 4 or 5 years, you know, he had played in a lot of really important national team games. You know, the Slovenia in 2017 won the Eurobasket. You know, it was a huge upset, you know, and he and Dragic were the key guys on that team. And those games, Jim, I mean, it, you know, are so pressure-packed with so much national pride on the line and everything else. You know, the kids in the United States, many of them don't have the opportunity to have those kinds of experiences. And you go from that, you know, to what he did in 18 and then, you know, right onto our roster. He was more prepared than most.
Talking to Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle, and then now you've got a possibility to recompare him with Porzingis. And you mentioned, Rick, Porzingis a few moments ago. He's recovering from that ACL injury, so you haven't had the chance to play him in games yet, and I know you're getting to know him. What's that process been like for you, and how's he looked to you physically?
Well, the process has been great. You know, I got to know him a little bit a couple of summers ago at one of the camps that he and I were both at. At that time, he had asked, you know, about the possibility of getting together with Dirk to work out or, you know, spend some time with him and stuff. And I think this was after his second year in New York. And they had tried to get together, you know, previously to that time. And so, you know, I talked to Dirk about it, and they could never quite get it together. But he always was a guy that had tremendous respect for Dirk. So I got to know him a little bit then. And then, you know, after the trade, that little bit of familiarity that we had was very helpful. You know, at that point, mid-February, Jim, you know, he was very much on his way to a full recovery in terms of where he was with the knee and his body and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, the last 3 weeks of the season, he was participating in live 5-on-5 scrimmages and practices. It had been decided before he was traded us that he was not going to play in any games this year. And so, you know, things look great. You know, he's a kid that's even though he's only 23 years old, he's been a professional much like Luka. He's been in a tough media market in New York. And I think he's going to be very motivated to try to win some games with us.
Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle joining us back in the jungle for a few more moments. Now, Rick, I had your former assistant Terry Stotts on the program yesterday. And I routinely talk to another one of your assistants from that 2011 team, Dwayne Casey. How much pride do you take in the success that they've had as head coaches after their time with you in Dallas?
Well, it's one of the greatest things, you know, if you can be in this business, help guys get head jobs, and then see them have that kind of success. You know, a lot of teams passed on Dwayne Casey for a long time, and then you know, the Toronto Raptors, you know, after we won the championship in 2011, you know, that night in Miami, about 5 minutes after the game, I picked up my cell phone. I called Brian Colangelo in Toronto. They were in the midst of a coaching search. I said, "Brian, I got your guy here." And so, you know, and within about 2 weeks, he had gone through the process and he had become the Raptors coach. And then, you know, he oversaw that rebuild for a great portion of it, had a lot of success over 7 years, and then went on to Detroit and got another big deal. So that was great. And then what Terry's done in Portland, Jim, has been, you know, just amazing. You know, he took a job in the summer of 2012 that nobody wanted. There were a couple of veteran coaches that just flat out turned it down without even interviewing. They just didn't think the team was that good, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that was the summer when Lillard got drafted. And so Stotts has taken Lillard and then McCollum and some of these other guys and molded these guys into, you know, a true contending team. He just got an extension, so he'll be there for another 3 years, 3 or 4 years at least. That'll take him over 10 years. And, you know, and those two guys, not coincidentally, had great impact on our 2011 championship team. So a lot of pride there for sure.
Rick Carlisle, my guest. Rick, before I let you go, one more guy I've got to ask you about. No way we run down a list of guys that have been with you and are now head coaches without talking about Jerry Stackhouse. Stack's always been one of my favorites. Now, this is a guy who did really well for himself financially during his time as a player. He doesn't need to work. What's it say about him then that he wanted to grind it out as an assistant and a coach in the G League in order to become a head coach? And then how do you think he'll do at Vanderbilt?
Well, he'll do great. You know, he's a guy, you know, Jim, who has an iron will. And, you know, interesting that, you know, he interviewed for a couple of NBA head jobs. It you know, the process wasn't going along as quickly as he had hoped. And so he just pivoted. He had a relationship with Malcolm Turner, who had taken over at Vanderbilt, and decided to go get some head coaching experience there. And, you know Stack. He's a man who is strong-willed. He sees things the way he sees them. And I have great respect for the fact that he decided to jump into the best situation where he could become a head coach the soonest, because in our profession, Jim, you learn the most by being a head coach, by being the guy that has responsibility for everything, for the players, for your staff, for dealing with ownership or your athletic director, you know, your marketing people, your PR people, your sports information director, whatever it is. He'll grow tremendously there. And, you know, I expect he's going to be an NBA head coach at some point.
He was an NBA champion as a player and a head coach. Third among active coaches in wins. Rick, you said it best. It had been far too long since I had you in the jungle, but great to run you down. I really appreciate you and that conversation as always. Rick, thank you so much. That was great.
Okay, Jim. Take care.
Have a great day, Rick. Really nice to talk to you. Rick Carlisle, Dallas Mavericks head coach. And as mentioned, he's always been really good to this program. And then he's got guys who've come through his system that have been really good to the program, like Terry Stotts, like Dwayne Casey. Stack has always been good to the jungle. Great to have them on. Like I said, we are having a really nice day. Back on the air in Denver, too, which I will get to a little bit later on. Shane Bieber, the All-Star MVP last night. You know, a lot not to like about that game, and then a few things to like about that game starting right there. His coach in college, Andrew Checkets, will be joining us in about 20 minutes. Again, Bieber walked on at UCSB. Bieber was concerned about his status at UCSB. And then only a few years later, he's an All-Star and winning the All-Star MVP award. So we'll break that down for you. Newly retired 10-year vet, Glover Quinn, next hour. Phone lines are open, too. The sun is out. The temps are up. You know what that means? It's grilling season. This season, eat like the party never ends with Kingsford. Grill burgers, chicken, corn, brats. We were smashing brats in Wisconsin last week. Ribs, all kinds of food with that mouth-watering, died-and-gone-to-heaven flavor that only Kingsford can fire up. Get yourself a bag of Kingsford charcoal at your local retailer. Start something big. Remember, it's not a party. If you're not eating good, and you're not eating good unless you're eating food good with Kingsford.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
This weekend, huge matchups highlight 2 days of hoops in the Big Three. And then you follow that up with PGA action at the John Deere Classic. All of that is on CBS. All right, so let's reset things very quickly. 1-800-636-8686. If you missed hour number one, we had a 20-year-old PGA Tour winner, Matthew Wolff, made eagle to win his first tour event. Did it within the same year or within a year of winning the NCAA Individual Championship. Only three guys have done that. We also had Rick Carlisle right there. He's been coming on for a long time. That was as good as he's ever been. He's always good. That was a great conversation. Andrew Checkets is coming up next segment. Glover Quinn is coming up next hour. All right, some other things I want to get to. I tease this. Harvard fencing coach fired. Now, why would I be talking about that? I mean, I've earned the right to go off the board, but why would I be getting into something like that? Part of the college admissions scandal. And the racket that this guy tried to run was pretty lame. Not really hard to figure out what this mastermind tried to do. Didn't work out for him. I'll have that story for you. I've got an update also on something I hit on Monday. UFC 239. You saw that brutal, brutal knockout. Masvidal over Askren. The flying knee that ended Askren 5 seconds into the fight. It was the shortest or quickest knockout in the history of the UFC. And Masvidal had a lot to say. They both had a lot to say before the match, but Masvidal had a lot to say afterwards, and I've been waiting on Askren. Now, it's not really Askren's fault. It's not like he wouldn't talk. He just wasn't awake. But he woke up and had a few things to say, and I want to get into that, too. Meantime, I took a week off. I've come back. We're midweek. I'm still waiting on a good phone call or two. 1-800-636-8686. Still waiting on a good phone call or two. Let's find out if this guy's got it. This guy was in the smack off, and then he wasn't. I'm not sure whether or not he wants to be in next year. If it's a good enough call, he could rip a golden ticket. Nobody has ripped a golden ticket yet for next year's event. Let's find out. We go to SoCal. Well, I am in SoCal. We stay in SoCal. Jeff in SoCal. What's going on, Jeff? How are you?
Rome, I'm great. Hey, I don't want to talk about the All-Star game or what L.A. coffee shops are doing to Clipper players. I want to talk about this golf tournament the Midwest Lames, Midwest clones are throwing. I mean, Omaha, Nebraska in July? I mean, people who live in Omaha can't even believe that you guys are going to Omaha. I mean, Omaha! What, was Tulsa, Oklahoma all booked this weekend? Was Sioux City, Iowa too expensive for you guys? Omaha, Nebraska makes Cleveland, Ohio look like South Beach in comparison, Jim. I mean, Jim, please tell me none of these guys are using vacation days from work to go to Omaha. Jim, I would pay to be a fly on the wall when these guys had that conversation with their wives. Yeah, babe, so I'm going to Omaha next weekend to play golf with strangers. Jim, 100% of their wives think they are having extramarital affairs, and 100% of their wives don't even care. They're lucky they're getting a weekend away from these losers. War Vladimir Guerrero, looking like Beaks in Studio City from the waist down, out.
Wow, Jeff. Right when I was going to rack you, Jeff. Right when I thought about giving back that golden ticket to you. All right, so if you don't know what he's talking about, I got a phone call yesterday from, I want to say, JJ in Kansas City. And he wanted to hype up the, quote, inaugural Jungle Open, where he and 30 other guys are going to be playing golf in Omaha. If you didn't pick up on that from Jeff.
Omaha!
Yeah, remind me, Adam, when is the Jungle Open? Is that this weekend or is that coming up? 9 days, Adam Hawk says. All right, so that's Jeff in SoCal saying, are you kidding me? You guys are going to have a tournament. You guys are going to have an inaugural Jungle Open. You're going to rep the jungle. You're going to have my name in your mouth. And you're going to Omaha for it. And my response was, look, anytime anybody wants to mobilize around this program, talk about the show, celebrate the show, get together, get to know each other, I'm all for it. You know, as long as it's legal, I'm all for it. You want to go to Omaha? Great. You want to play golf in Omaha? Great. Your wife says that's all right? Great. You got a hall pass? Perfect. You want to celebrate the show? Great. Literally, I don't care what it is, as long as you're representing the show in the proper light. Apparently, Jeff has got an issue with it. Every one of those losers. Hey, babe, I'm going to Omaha to play golf with 30 other strangers that I don't know. He said 100% of those wives know that it's an extramarital affair, and 100% of the same wives don't even care. Jeff in SoCal. All right, so if you're one of the 30 and you want to take up for yourself, you go right ahead and do it. There are clone stocks. There are clone gatherings. There is an inaugural Jungle Open. These things break out, and not only am I here for it, I'm here to promote it and talk about it. I like it. People repping the show off hours. As any host would tell you, that's perfect. That's great. Speaking of off hours, when I go off the air today, I'm going to tape a podcast with somebody we've been efforting for quite some time. I'm really excited about it. I don't want to jinx it. Notice I still have not told you who it is. I do not want to jinx it. That's coming up after the program, and that'll probably drop around 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific. When we come back, I want to talk more about Shane Bieber, the American League All-Star MVP from last night. His coach in college, Andrew Checkets, joins us to share his story. That's next segment. Before I do that, though, I do owe you a sports update. Here is the very latest on a busy Wednesday. Jay Berman is in with this one.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
All right, thank you very much, Jim. We'll start with baseball, and we've got none of it tonight. The season resumes tomorrow night with the Astros and Rangers. Everybody else is off until Friday. All right, to the NBA we go. Kawhi Leonard has signed his Clippers contract. It's 3 years with a player option in the third season. Meanwhile, interesting times for the Board of Governors. They've approved a one-year trial for coaches' challenges for the coming season. Teams will get just one challenge no matter what, and it'll be a signal from the coach, not a flag thrown on the court. Meanwhile, Commissioner Adam Silver complained yesterday about the obvious tampering with free agents that occurred this summer. Silver says teams want to know they're on level playing fields. He says he'd like, quote, enforceable rules to keep GMs honest. Meanwhile, Marcus Morris may back out of a 2-year, $20 million agreement with the Spurs to sign for 1 year and $15 million with the Knicks. All right, the NFL and the Dolphins covering all the medical expenses of Miami D-tackle Kendrick Norton, who lost his left arm in a car crash last week.
Live from Southern California,
This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Don't have time to wax your car? New 303 touchless sealant is going to save you hours. In fact, it takes just minutes to apply. You simply spray on, then you rinse off, and it protects up to 2 times longer than traditional waxes. More protection and shine, less effort and time. It is available at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Welcome back. UC Santa Barbara head baseball coach Andrew Checkets had Shane Bieber in college. We're going to run him down in just a couple of moments. In the meantime, I'm trying to get you to call up. Jeff in SoCal called up. I was off all of last week, so now the phone lines are open. Once again, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. And importantly, in Denver, where we're back on the air. And I do want to get to that momentarily. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at habitate.com. I think I'll slide a phone call in here as I wait for the coach, Andrew Checkets. Let's go to Oregon. Evan in Oregon. It's good to have you. Evan, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Jim. I'm here to address one thing and one thing only. The spectacled testicle himself, Rick in Buffalo. See, Jim, I respect.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Well, I guess you're not going to address it. It's going to get you run. The spectacle of the testicle himself. Bro, why did you think that was going to work? Because it didn't. Anyway, this email reads, "Hey, Rome, in continuation of yesterday, please have Alvy do Tiger's, quote, wake up on System of a Down's Chop Suey. Thanks, John in Huntington Beach."
Wake up!
Wake up!
Keep going, Alvy. Just Tiger going goofball again. That was to him calling out to Nike's Instagram account. Wake up.
Wake up.
Zach, hey, Nike. Tiger here. Yeah, I'm up right now. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Nike knows exactly what you're doing every minute of every single day, Tig. Wake up.
Wake up.
John in Huntington Beach writes, "War me, winning the Clone Choice Award for People's Choice." People's Choice for what, John? We haven't had the Clone's Choice Awards in years.
Hey, John.
Hey, John, you win nothing. Wait, you win for that? All right. As mentioned, we're joined right now by the head baseball coach at UC Santa Barbara, finest institution in the land. He was named Gauchos head coach in June of 2011. He led UCSB to their first College World Series appearance in 2016. Also led UCSB to 45 wins and a trip to the NCAA regional this year. He coached the All-Star Game MVP from last night, Shane Bieber at UCSB. It's an amazing story, so I want to go back to Andrew Checkets and get his thoughts. He joins us right now. Andrew, good to have you back. How are you?
Good, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Always good to have you on, Checks. All right, so what was it like for you when you first heard that Shane Bieber had been selected to play in the All-Star Game in Cleveland?
Pretty amazing. I mean, his last 6 years have been really amazing for him. Obviously, we'll take the great publicity, but, you know, he went from a walk-on to starting rotation to, you know, an all-conference player to, you know, going to the College World Series to a good draft to the big leagues to an all-star, and has had a tremendous amount of upward trajectory.
You know, I want to talk about those 6 years in a minute, but when he comes in last night and the crowd is going wild, he strikes out the side, which is obviously very rare in an all-star game. What did you make of his performance?
I'm continually impressed with his stuff and just how much better it's gotten, you know, every single year that he pitches. You know, when he left us, it was, you know, 88 to 92. He'd flash a 93, and the secondary stuff was decent, but not like the stuff that he's rolling out there now. You know, the breaking ball, and he's getting flinches out of real hitters, and the fastball, you know, 95 down, and the ability to throw up. I just, every time I watch him, I'm impressed with how much better he's gotten. And he's always had the poise part of it. I mean, that piece of it, and the strike throwing piece of it. When he got here, he was somebody that you could blindfold and spin around three times and he'd still throw a strike.
That's a great line. I love that quote. So is that something that you can coach, or is that something that's just natural?
I mean, we all think that we can coach it a little bit, but I think by the time that they get to us in terms of having that elite command, I think, you know, they've got feel, and they've picked that up along the way. We feel like we can make guys better and, you know, take them from, you know, B to A or C to B, but it's hard to take a guy that, you know, doesn't have feel and doesn't have command and all of a sudden make him an elite strike thrower like Shane.
UCSB head coach Andrew Cech is joining us right now. You mentioned what it was like when he got to campus. What about his stuff? I mean, the story goes that he was throwing in the mid to high 80s, and he had something of a lollipop curveball. What did you see in him when he came on campus that made you think this guy may be something?
Well, we saw him early, and I mean, you know, there's a piece of it he was a walk-on, but it wasn't like we didn't know who he was. I mean, he'd come on campus before, and we were low on scholarship at that point, and scholarship money at that point, and you know, frankly, he didn't have a ton of velocity and stuff, but he had the command, he had the feel, and then when we got him here, you know, it was I saw him this summer right before he showed up on campus, and was pretty excited about it just because of his ability to compete and throw strikes and throw the ball in the strike zone. He had a projectable frame, but you know, he just kept getting better and better and better and putting on weight, and the velocity crept up, and you know, his first year, yeah, it was. There weren't a lot of breaking balls. I remember he had a really good outing at Cal Poly, and he was warming up before the game, and the breaking ball wasn't very good. And I said, hey, you can do it with all fastballs today, and he did. I think he threw two off-speed pitches and ended up having a great outing that day. So, you know, command plays and plays at our level, and, you know, the stuff kept getting better and better and better.
We're talking to Andrew Cech. He had Shane Bieber in college. You know, part of the story is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but part of his story seems to be that back in 2014, over winter break, he thought he might not make the team, but he not only makes the team, he ends up as a serious contributor as a freshman, and then he was the ace when he went to Omaha a couple of years later. I mean, what does that say about his growth and his work ethic?
Yeah, he's a tremendous, tremendous worker. You know, I think for Shane, you know, someone was asking me last night, you know, how do you describe him? And I don't think I did a great job with last night, but I thought about it overnight. And he's grounded. He's really grounded. He knows where he came from. He's a worker. He's trying to get better. He was here in the off season, training and working and trying to get better. And you know, I think that's why you see the continual improvement. And obviously, he's been fortunate. He's got some skills, and he's been, you know, that command piece of it is something that, you know, sometimes guys get that 97 mile an hour arm, and sometimes guys get that elite feel, and he's got the elite feel.
Now, not only did he win the award last night, but he did so while wearing cleats that had Santa Barbara to Cleveland written on them. You know, personally, I mean, it gave me chills, but what's that mean to you and the program to see that?
Yeah. I mean, he's, he's flying the flag for us, and I think he's really done a nice job of representing us on the field and off the field. It does mean a lot to how my phone was blowing up last night, and everybody was really excited about it, and how he's handled himself in the clubhouse and with the media. It's been impressive.
Hey, listen, Andrew, what's that mean, though? When you're recruiting guys to UCSB, how valuable is it to have a story like Shane Bieber to point to and say, this is the kind of thing that can happen? I mean, he's a special guy, but this is the kind of thing that can happen here.
Yeah, we try to hang our hats on the development piece of it, and on guys getting better and improving. And you know, Shane's obviously the best example of that right now. But we've had some other guys like Dylan Tate, who was the first pitcher taken in the draft in 2015. And I don't know the exact number, but to toot our own horn, I think we've had, you know, we're either tied or the most players drafted on the West Coast in the last 5 years. So We're hanging our hats on the development piece of it, and you know, the school part of it and the academic piece of it and the location piece of it. But when we're sitting down with families, we're really talking about, if you come here, we think we can help you get better.
I know it. We're talking to UCSB head baseball coach Andrew Checkets for a couple of more moments. Now, you're coming off a season where you led the team to a program record 45 wins against D1 opponents. You had 13 players named to the All-Big West team. I know the year did not end the way you would have hoped, but looking back, how special was the season?
It was remarkable. We had, you know, three win streaks of 12 wins or better. You know, we broke the school records for consecutive wins, and the kids really did an amazing job. I mean, it was just, we found ways to win. They kept finding ways to win. The days that we didn't pitch, we hit. And the days that we didn't hit, we pitched. And it was a really great group to coach. And obviously, it did not end the way that we had all hoped. But, you know, a lot of really special things happened. And those kids really hung it out there.
Hey, listen, I steered clear of you during the process, but I do have to ask you, because of the success you've had there, your name has come up for other jobs, one that might arguably be considered bigger jobs, but you decide to stay at UC Santa Barbara. What did that come down to? What was that process like?
Well, I had somebody ask me that the other day just about, you know, what if your dream job comes up? And I said, well, I have my dream job. You know, I mean, this, in terms of the location, the weather, I like coaching shorts and a T-shirt every day. It's 70 degrees. Every day we've got proximity to players. You know, we've got a great package to recruit to with the academics and the baseball piece of it. And, you know, the other piece for me is my family and I walk to work and my kids go to Isla Vista Elementary and I get a lot of opportunities to see them here. And so I think it's a great place to raise a family and we've really, really enjoyed our time here. And you know, I think the thoughts of leaving Santa Barbara and moving our family are just, you know, it's really, really challenging to think about that. And we've had great support from our administration and feel like we're building and got lights going in right now. And we've been working hard on that. So really excited about the future and want to continue to build here.
Glad to hear the lights are coming in finally. He is the head baseball coach at UC Santa Barbara. He was named coach in 2011. I see you working, Coach. Led UCSB to their first College World Series appearance in 2016 and coached All-Star Game MVP Shane Bieber at UCSB. Andrew, great to have you back. Really appreciate the conversation. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jim. Go Chos.
Go Chos. Hey, listen, I'm not going to apologize for it either. When you have a show, when you get your show, because all of you think you're better at this than I am, that's fine. That's good. You might be. You can talk about your college all you want. I'm not apologizing for that. I love my college. Gaucho Nation. Hey, look, everybody loves their college, right? Except for Hawk. He doesn't have one. We all do. I'm sending our son Jake to Wisconsin. Believe me, nobody loves their school more than they love theirs. But we love our school. So if I have a reason to hype my school and talk about my school, best damn be sure I'm going to do it. And when the All-Star Game MVP went to my school, we will be talking about that. When he walked on at my school, we'll be talking about that. And if I got a coach at that same school who's in high demand and is getting interest from the likes of USC, Oregon, and Oregon State, and he chooses that school over those other schools, we'll be talking to him too. And especially if he coached a walk-on who within 6 years became the All-Star MVP, it's going to be a topic. As long as this gaucho hosts this show. Chomaha. I mean, don't get me started. I'll put Michael Young on this show so fast, it'll make your head spin. Spilly will be on this show so fast, you won't believe it. It's not just baseball either. Don't think Brian Shaw won't come on here and talk gaucho basketball with me. Dominant soccer program at UCSB. All right, so we're getting ready for hour number three. 1-800-636-8686. Dear Rome, yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure Checkets doesn't have to sell Bieber to recruits. Just have them walk around that campus. Good God, the ladies will get them there. Dan in SoCal. He didn't say that. I'm not saying that. I am saying if you walk on that campus, you're not going to want to walk off that campus. Hell, I committed without walking on the campus. Of course, I could back then. We gauchos always laugh right now that none of us could get in that school today like we did back then. Kawhi Leonard reportedly has signed a 2+1 and set up his contract so it runs along with Paul George. So that would allow them to be free agents at the same time. More on that in a minute. Let's go to Twitter very quickly. D-Bag Nation tweets, Jim should thank Jim for getting back in Denver. Signed, John Elway.
Thank you to John Elway.
I want to thank Jim Rome for getting back in Denver. Sincerely, Jim Elway. Rome. The Suave Canuck tweets, come on, SoCal Jeff. There's no way in hell that those 30-plus losers heading to Nebraska have wives. Pete in Kalamazoo tweets, Jeff in SoCal would get his ass beat by those corn-fed Nebraska gals and guys. When we return into the third hour, Glover Quinn joins me. That's next. Phone calls after that. Stay in it. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Third hour coming up.